go.
Oh, Justin Akery at Landers Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Benton, Arkansas on a little bit of a gray day, but deals abound inside the comfy confines of the Landers Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram showroom. I am joined by the Radio Ho, Phil Elson.
I like that one.
Better, huh?
The Radio Ho.
I'm working on it.
All right. I'm going to get a business card that says that.
What we call a whip. Not to be confused with walks and hits per innings pitched.
Which is what I think.
Right, but his whip is work in progress, of course, in my situation. Speaking of, most people's hair is a work in progress, and Sport Clips is here to help that work go smoothly. When I was in Ankeny, Iowa this weekend, I noticed that there was a Sport Clips location near my sister's house. And so I thought, you know what, they're everywhere, truly. And I always talk about how there's 1,000-plus nationwide, and you can find the one nearest you at sportclips.com. I truly went on a mission to find some of these great Sport Clips locations, and I found a great one right there. So if you're ever up that way, you know there's one there for you. And, then of course, they're all over Arkansas. So if you're looking for a precision haircut every time, guaranteed. If you're looking for a massaging shampoo to get a little bit of that tension out of your day, not to mention a relaxing neck and shoulder massage and a legendary hot steam towel treatment like the old school barbershops, my friend, Sport Clips is the place for you. Even if you don't need a haircut necessarily, going in there and getting an MVP treatment, worth every dime you spend. It's a great value and a great stress reliever as well. It's America's haircut place for men and boys. And, of course, they do have guys, smart stylists, and TVs playing sports all the time at Sport Clips. Open every day of the week. No appointment needed. Pop in and get a great haircut every time at Sport Clips. There's one near you. So, again, we talked about it earlier. If you are looking for a place to get a great vehicle at a great price and also make sure that you get finance, the place to go is Landers Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, exit 121, where we are located today. And there is something for everyone. You want the family sedan. You're looking for a bigger SUV. You want a truck. You want a sporty car like the Challenger. You want a Charger. You got you covered all across the board. I'll tell you what. I have had very few cars I've ever driven, let alone owned, have been more enjoyable than the 300 I have now, despite the fact that I did somehow along the way run over a screw. And did I mention how great the service department is here? Because I'm putting them to test right now. They're working on my 300 as we speak because I woke up this morning and I had an alert. That's what I like about the 300. It gives you a little alert. And it says, air pressure low. And I look, 35, 35, 35 on my front and my back left tires. Back right tire, 12.
Not a good number.
12 pounds per square inch, bad. So I am truly going to get a screw loose today, and then they're going to fix my tire up and straighten me out. So I'm looking forward to it.
But even with the screw in that tire, it was a nice, easy ride.
There is no doubt. It did. Phil rode down here with me. It was quite nice, wasn't it? It's a good vehicle.
Yes.
And you could put a family of four in the trunk alone.
And I learned how to pass in the right lane quite a few times.
Well, look, if the left lane's blocked, you got to do something.
That's why there's three of them.
I didn't pass on the shoulder. You should be happy. You got off easy.
That's an extra lane, isn't it?
Well, look, I'm still in my aggressive drive mode because I just got back from a road trip. And I get very aggressive, and I try not to dawdle. And we also have like I have my family working like a pit crew when it comes to the bathroom breaks. I'm like, all right, ready, break, let's go. Back in 4 minutes. You know, we jam. I mean, we get after. My family knows there's no stopping to eat. We eat in the car. I mean, there's a reason why my car is a little messy, but still, I mean, we have a system down, and everybody sort of understands. My wife has come to terms with it. My kids have been brought up in it, so they understand it from day one.
So, all right, 4 minute bathroom breaks. Eat in the car, but you were still able to shop in Branson for how long?
For an hour. But I only shop about twice a year, so that was one of my stops. I needed a new swimsuit,
priorities,
Phil.
Right?
I need a new swimsuit to showcase my zero pack.
That's right. You got to get your Speedo for the year.
There's no doubt. I actually found a Speedo. I'm thinking, man, people actually wear these. It wasn't my size because I was actually thinking about it, just to have it.
Wear it around the house.
Right? Well, at least bring it to the cart and tell my wife I'm going to buy it and freak her out.
Threaten her with
it. Right, exactly. Some Keithley Service coming live fan feedback. Kev says, am I the only person who finds it more than mere coincidence that after openly endorsing flopping, LeBron fouls out and is fined for flopping?
That's a really good point, but let me tell you what. The NBA cares not about it. That's why the proof is that the fine for flopping is $5,000. That's like LeBron's fingernail.
That's his per diem, I think.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, you're good.
They don't care about the flopping.
You're right. Did you see the game the other night when they tied the series at 2 apiece to Indiana?
Didn't get a chance to watch it. Read about it, saw the highlights, and kind of thinking that the Pacers might have played their best game of the series right there. And I wonder if they can repeat that kind of performance in Miami. That's going to be really tough to do.
Joe Klein and I had a discussion last week, and after losing game one, I felt like Indiana could do better. And he's like, I don't know. And he pointed out, Hibbert played great. West played great. You know, George didn't shoot the ball especially well, but he made some clutch plays at the end of the game, and they still lost. Thing was, though, they turned the ball over a lot and didn't do some other things so well. Lance Stevenson went woohoo, and when he goes cuckoo, he is a real negative. Now, when he's playing out of his mind well, he's a huge asset.
He's really an in-the-moment sort of a guy, right?
But he is truly an X-factor guy. He doesn't need to be the bread and butter. He doesn't need to be the meat and potatoes, but he is definitely a great gravy guy who can provide a little extra something-something and help get you over the hump.
He got a little something-something. Got 10 points over his season average two nights ago.
Yeah, but when he tries to become the meat and potatoes and doesn't play well, he does some pretty ridiculous things. He'll force it one-on-three. I mean, he does a lot of things that you see. Just plays like a very immature player, and as a young guy, you would understand that, certainly. But, boy, when he's got it going, he is really a nice asset to have.
That seemed to play into the sort of the way that the entire Pacer club played two nights ago. Emotionally, angry. I mean, they get out to an 11-0 lead, kind of feeding off of the energy of the crowd. They pushed Miami around. They dominated in the paint, dominated on the glass. And so they seem to be a team that can really play an emotional style of basketball. You know, they get a day off to try to recharge that battery. It's going to be difficult to repeat that in on the road where, I mean, the emotions really swing the other way. That's the big thing about basketball on the road, especially in the playoffs, is that, I mean, you're in a hornet's nest, especially in Miami where the fan base is just, I mean, it's a great fan base now. They love that club. They're going to be extremely loud, but, I mean, Miami probably should have lost the first game of that series
right.
in their own building.
No doubt.
Pacers have already shown they can go into that environment and play pretty well. But I'd be surprised if they're able to push Miami around at American Airlines Arena the way mm-hmm. they did at Conseco.
Well, here's the thing. If they don't win the series, they will be sitting around sick that they didn't win it. I mean, mm-hmm. because they had a chance to be up 3-1. And teams that are up 3-1 most of the time win. Now, we saw a Game 7 last night where Chicago had come back from 3-1, which is amazing. But you don't see it a lot, certainly. And Chicago goes to overtime to knock it out. But rallied from a 3-1 series deficit, I will give the Blackhawks some credit. So that's good to have. I feel good for Chicago fans having something to root for.
How about in the NHL semifinals now? The four teams, the Penguins and the Bruins in the East, the Kings and the Hawks in the West, those are the last four Stanley Cup champions. So the greatness has sort of just sort of continued throughout these last 4 years. You know who I'm going with, of course. There's a team that wears black and gold.
Boston?
The other team that wears black and gold.
Okay, Pittsburgh. Yeah. I'm so confused. all right, well, good luck. When do they play?
They play Sunday.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Saturday.
Okay, good
And
luck.
Then Sunday. How often do you do that in the playoffs, back-to-back days?
Well,
unless that's a misprint inside the Democrat Gazette, which
I think
never
that's
happens.
Right. It's stupid that it's not stupid, but it sucks that San Antonio closed out Memphis so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
It's great for San Antonio, an older team that needs all the rest they can get. They're getting more rest right now, which is exactly the formula for them to make a big push in the finals.
Perfect scenario.
But it sucks for us as NBA fans because you only get a game every other day at best. And so I don't know what the schedule is, I guess. I know they play tonight, of course, for Game 5. Not a must-win, but a critical and or pivotal Game 5 tonight in Miami.
I've seen this described as a must-win for Miami because if they lose, then they're going back to Indiana down 3-2.
It's not a must-win. It's a need-to-win, want-to-win, pivotal, critical game.
I guess you're defining must-win as lose and you're done, right?
Right, okay. Exactly. And if you were talking about Arkansas basketball from the last couple of seasons and expecting them to go on the road and win a game, then I would say, yeah, it's a must-win because it's a team that has shown repeatedly that it cannot win on the road. This is a Miami team that's already won a road game in this series, convincingly.
Sure.
So to say that tonight's a must-win is nonsense. That's silly. That doesn't make any sense. That's not a must-win. That is one of the most overused terms in sports, one of the most overused phrases in sports, and it drives me crazy.
You've got to be able to find a way to lessen the degree of immediacy there, which you did by using the word pivotal.
Right. It is critical. It is pivotal, more so for Miami. But I think, bottom line is, I love the bottom line, Indiana's got to win a game on the road. Whether it's this one or Game 7, they've got to win a game on the road. Oh, and by the way, they've also got to protect their home court against the Miami team that's already beaten them there. So they have their hands full. This would be a huge step in the right direction for Indiana. Can you imagine how ridiculous it'll be back in Indiana if they win tonight and they're playing for a trip to the finals in Game 6.
That would be nuts. It would be actually a lot of fun to see how Miami would respond to that.
Yes.
I mean, on opening day, everybody pretty much put Miami in the finals. And it was the thought that there was no team that was even close to their level in the Eastern Conference. Nobody even close. And, you know, they got pushed a little bit by Chicago. Who knows what would have happened if they played the Knicks. You know, I think what we saw from the Knicks in their playoff series, probably not much. But who would have seen at the start of the season the Pacers would be the team that actually might...
Without Danny Granger, mind you.
Right, might actually be able to do it.
Well, it's been a little bit like Memphis was a couple of years ago. It's been addition by subtraction. I certainly don't think they're a better team without Danny Granger, but we saw the same thing without Rudy Gay a couple of years ago with Memphis. They make a trip a little further. Well, I mean, they won a playoff series for the first time ever, so that was significant. They did it without what was arguably their best player. So you're seeing a little bit of the same thing with Indiana right now, and if he comes back healthy next year and they can keep all the other pieces together, yikes, look out. Miami's going to be pushed seriously next year. They're being pushed seriously now without arguably the best player on the Pacers team. And we're also watching Roy Hibbert come of age before our eyes, which has been fun to watch.
I know. And goodness, it seems like he's been in the league forever now.
Yeah. Well, he may be making his stake as the second-best center in the league behind Gasol.
Good point.
And he's got time. I mean, look, he's not been the most consistent offensive performer, but in the playoffs he's been awfully good on that end.
Well, and I mean, he has, he's been a beast on the glass.
Yeah.
He's averaging 6.5 offensive rebounds a game, you know, allowing the Pacers to get that many second chances that close with Hibbert, you know, at his height. That's going to be that's difficult for Miami. And, you know, who knows? I mean, they got out-rebounded so badly the other day that the Heat's top rebounder was Ray Allen. How often does that happen?
Not very often.
No.
Not if you're winning.
It can't be a good sign.
No, it isn't.
I mean, who can step up and position themselves on the glass a little bit better?
We've got to take a timeout. We'll talk a little more NBA or whatever you want to get into. 433-1037. Phil has a couple of notes for baseball fans, too, I do want to touch on as well. I want to talk about the Arkansas contingent in the major leagues, which I'm sure you've probably touched on the last couple of days. But it seems like every pitcher with Arkansas ties, other than maybe A.J. Burnett, and they're all pitching pretty well, has been brought up as trade bait potentially for teams, especially guys who aren't teams that are struggling.
Oh, without question.
So we'll get into that coming up in a second. If you are anything like I used to be, you go out of your way to buy the most comfortable shoes you can find. The days of buying shoes just because they look good are probably long gone. And the most frustrating part, of course, is that the really comfortable shoes can have a really big price tag. But it's worth it if your feet don't hurt at the end of the day, right?